This is the English translation of the message delivered by Pastor Hon on November 26, 2023. The message title is Those Who Were Raised, and the scripture passage is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Good morning. Let us begin by reading Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Last week, we considered the profound reasons why Christ himself raised man and his determination to do so. And this morning, I would like to think about the roles and duties that Christ actually gave to those whom he raised. As we have seen from Ephesians chapter 1 through 4, God has an ultimate purpose. This means that he will transform everything in heaven and earth, which was destined to perish due to men's sins, and gather all things in heaven and earth into one. Last week, we learned that Christ himself, in his grace, decided to communicate God's plans and purposes through human sinners. We confirmed this from the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, which says, "Through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe." We inform this world through human words, human deeds, and human ways of life, and raise up those who believe and are saved. In order for as many people as possible to be brought into the bosom of God's salvation, who gathers all into one so that no one perishes, Christians must have a unity with Christ as the head. It is said that each part of the body is entrusted with a role or function, maintaining that it is one body of Christ. In particular, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers mentioned in today's Bible passage, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, are people who live their ministry as a calling from God to preach Christ to the people of the world. In addition, it is necessary to inform Christians, who are each member of the body of Christ, about the ultimate purpose of the body of Christ, and by having this knowledge clear the eyes of their hearts. They are people who pray that they will be able to see and know God deeply, and are mindful of growing together to the stature of Christ. As you read the New Testament, you will come across passages. As you read the New Testament, you will come across passages in the Bible that list the positions of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I would say that all of them have the same meaning. In other words, I think there is a tendency to lump them up all together, thinking that they are all people who are in a leadership position in the church, regardless of their job or position. In fact, there are clear differences between or among each job and role. Looking at the history of the church over the past 2,000 years, we find the historical fact that confusion, problems, division, and heresy arose because people did not really clearly understand the difference in the duties and roles of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers from the Bible teaching. There is a historical fact that the sects and heresies have occurred because of that. In particular, the largest schism that continues to this day, the confusion, The confusion could be said to be the schism between the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church. The Catholic Church has an organizational philosophy that says there is one church on earth and that all churches must unite around the Catholic Church. But as a Protestant Church, unfortunately, there are several major reasons why we cannot be institutionally united with the Catholic Church. One of them is that there are vastly different ideas about the role and offices of apostles. According to the description written in the New Testament, the office of apostle is not a permanent, continuous one, but a temporary one. Prophet and evangelist, as meant here in the book of Ephesians, are also temporary positions. In contrast, pastors and teachers are not temporary positions, but positions and roles that will last until the day of the Lord Jesus returns. Therefore, I myself am not an apostle, a prophet, or even an evangelist as described here in Ephesians, but a pastor or teacher. The United Church of Christ of Japan, a team to which Megumi Church belongs, refers to pastors who work in the churches not only as pastors and evangelists, but also as regular teachers and assistant teachers. Some of the things that you hear about relatively often are regular teacher examinations, assistant teachers examinations, assistant teachers training sessions, and the laying on of hands for regular teachers. If we follow what is originally written in the Bible, so-called modern pastors and evangelists, priests, who are in leadership positions in the church are neither apostles nor prophets nor evangelists in the book of Ephesians. All of their positions will be similar to those of pastors and teachers. So today, I would like to first explore what the Bible says about the office of apostles. In the New Testament, there are several conditions that are essential for being called an apostle. As we confirmed last week, the Apostle Paul, the author of the book of Ephesians, said of himself, "I am the least of the apostles and is not worthy to be called an apostle." These words contain the most important condition for being an apostle, that is, you cannot become an apostle just by calling yourself an apostle. Like Paul, no matter how much you say you are not worthy of being an apostle, it is not up to him to decide whether he would be an apostle or not. Also, it is not something that is appointed or called by someone. The position of apostle is the only position directly appointed by the Lord Jesus and the Lord God. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul says, "Paul, an apostle, sent not from man nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead." Paul became an apostle not through people or through humans, but only through God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ directly made Paul an apostle. Directly means that he physically met the Lord Jesus Christ directly in his body. In other words, in order to be considered an apostle, one must first and foremost have seen the resurrected Lord Jesus with one's own eyes, and he had to be able to witness the fact that he has seen the resurrected Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1 says, "Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord?" Paul says, "Have I, Paul, not seen the Lord Jesus?" To those who refused to acknowledge that Paul was an apostle, Paul answered, On the third day he was crucified, died, and was buried. You all know that I saw the Lord Jesus in person when he rose from the dead. Furthermore, if we look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, while listing the people who saw the Lord Jesus risen from the dead, Paul ends by saying the following about what happened to himself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 8 and 9. And last of all he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. If I decide or do not decide to serve as an apostle from a human ethical and moral point of view, I am not worthy of being an apostle. But the resurrected Lord Jesus appeared to me, I gave thanks and observed his command, Paul confesses. In this way, unless someone had personally met the resurrected Lord Jesus, they could not become an apostle because they could not testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. However, this does not mean that all those who directly met the Lord Jesus become apostles. You cannot become an apostle unless the Lord Jesus, who appeared before you and rose from the dead, directly calls you and appoints you. I make you an apostle. Two of the most important conditions for being an apostle. The first is to directly meet the resurrected Lord Jesus. The second is to receive the words from the Lord Jesus who appeared, saying, I am raising you up as an apostle who will testify to my resurrection. The 12 disciples who lived and ate with Jesus for 3 years naturally became apostles. They lived with Jesus before he was crucified, met Jesus after he was resurrected from the cross, from the dead, and Jesus said to them directly, Go and preach about me to all the nations. They received the command as apostles to bear witness and baptize people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Finally, as we read in Acts chapter 9, Jesus appeared to Paul, who was persecuting the church and trying to tear it to pieces, and said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. You are my chosen vessel to carry my name before the Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. I will show you how much you must suffer for my sake. As he said this, he appointed Paul as an apostle. The Greek word apostolos, which is translated into Japanese as shito, apostle, is derived from the verb apostello, which means to send out from a person of authority such as a king. In other words, the word apostle means a person sent by a king or other authority figure. Apostles are those sent to the world to speak about Christ as ambassadors and witnesses of the resurrected Christ. The only people specifically appointed as apostles were Jesus' 12 disciples, including Matthias, who were appointed by God's will after Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, and the apostle Paul. James, who is Jesus' younger brother, may be included here, but in any case, 2,000 years ago, they directly encountered the Lord Jesus, who was resurrected from the dead, and were directly commanded by Jesus' voice to become apostles. Those who have been given the name are the apostles. Therefore, people after them cannot become apostles. There is no record in the Bible that there were any people other than those that Jesus appeared to in a way that could be seen with the naked eyes and called them out as apostles with his own voices. Of course, There have been many reports around the world of people who became Christians because Jesus appeared to them in a dream or a vision. When I was studying missiology at Fuller Theological Seminary, there was a book that was given for our assignment, and it contained many stories on the world's mission situation. In that book, God's missionary method, which is currently a hot topic in the missionary work taking place in the Muslim areas of the world, is described. One day, Jesus suddenly appeared to them in a dream and told them, "I am the true God and the Savior." It is amazing, and in a sense, I'm a bit jealous. There are times when Jesus appears in a vision in situations and circumstances where nothing can be done. But when the apostle physically met Jesus Christ, who was resurrected from the dead, and received the calling as an apostle, it is an event of a different category. The third condition for being an apostle is that one must have directly received supernatural revelation of the truth and mystery taught by the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul has already spoken about this in Ephesians chapter 3. Let us turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. "Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets." The Apostle Paul received by revelation knowledge of the infinite riches of God's grace and mysteries to be made known to the nations. If you look up the word revelation in the dictionary, it means the transmission of a religious truth that cannot be known by human power to humans, either directly by God or through supernatural beings, such as angels. In other words, God directly makes known the mystery of God's will to those whom He has appointed using a method that cannot be explained in this world. The Greek word apokalypsis, which is translated as revelation, means to remove a veil or to reveal what was hidden. The apostles were directly told by God what was hidden in the will of God. In Galatians chapter 1, which we looked at earlier, Paul makes a defense of his own role as an apostle and also says that those who preached a gospel that was contrary to the gospel that Paul himself preached, even if they were angels, should be cursed. And he strongly states his legitimacy as an apostle who received the revelation directly from God as follows in Galatians chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. "Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul received direct revelation from Jesus Christ. In other words, he directly received the truth from Jesus, the mysteries of God that had been hidden until then. The fourth apostle apostle's condition is attached to the third condition, and it is that he should receive the revelation accurately and with the authority given to him by God, without wavering or compromising. Apostles are those who have received the power to speak of the revelation that have been revealed to them, not to please people, but to please God. Later, during the conferences and the work in which the New Testament as a holy book was decided upon under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, whether or not the book was given a special authority from God, apostolic authority, and the revelation of God was straightforwardly spoken, so these were the final criteria. In other words, it was determined that there was content in the Apocrypha that did not become Holy Scripture that was trying to attract people. Of the 27 volumes of the New Testament, 13, or about half, are letters written by Paul, but even this objective fact can tell us that the Apostle Paul could not deviate from the supernatural revelation he received from God. You will see that he was not pandering to others or trying to please others, but was speaking the true gospel and mystery from God's perspective, putting God's view first. Paul said twice in his letters, "Be imitators of me," but these words did not express Paul's pride or dogmatism, but rather they were not the words that expressed his own arrogance or dogmatism, but rather Paul's words of humility to always make clear the fact that the gospel did not come from his own ideas, understanding, or experience, but was given to him by God. Paul said that from the day he met Jesus Christ and was appointed as an apostle, he spoke only about Jesus Christ, conveyed only the revelation he received from God, and lived only for the incomparable splendor of that revelation. He was a person who always remembered that if he died for that purpose, if he risked his life, he would not regret the life of his perishing flesh. Otherwise, who would be able to say the words, "Please be my followers," without the shadow of doubt? The fifth and final condition was that the apostles were capable of performing miracles. In Mark chapter 16:20, it says, "Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it." The resurrected Lord Jesus confirmed that the gospel and the mysteries of God spoken by the disciples were true by performing miracles. If you look at the Acts of the Apostles, you will find Peter saying, "I have neither gold nor silver, but what I have I will give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk," to try to help a lame man from his birth. Ananias and Sapphira, who deceived the Holy Spirit with money, collapsed and died the moment they heard Peter's words pointing out their sins. Many miraculous works were performed in which those tormented by illness or by evil spirits were healed by the apostles. Fear and respect for the church arose among the people, and more people believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then a new problem arose, which is envy and jealousy. Among those who resented the work of the apostles and the fact that they were the center of attention, There were a few who called themselves apostles and said, "We are apostles too." The self-proclaimed apostles are just calling themselves names, so they sent letters of recommendations to each other in order to increase their prestige, and they tried to get the church to recognize them as apostles, causing confusion in the church. It is written in the 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 12 through 15. "And I will keep on doing what I'm doing in order to cut the ground from under those who want an opportunity to be considered equal with us in the things they boast about. For such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve." The apostles were given special authority from God to perform miracles, which set them apart from false apostles and servants of Satan, who disguised themselves as angels of light or servants of righteousness. The false apostles had never met the resurrected Jesus, never received the call to be apostles, never had the mysteries of God revealed to them directly, and never understood the truth of God. That is why they were worried, and they sent each other letters of recommendations. From these five conditions for being an apostle, we can see from the Bible record that the office of an apostle was a temporary, special office. Therefore, there is no successor to the office of apostle. Looking at Acts chapter 12, when James, one of the 12 apostles, was martyred, no one, not even the church, appointed a successor to James as an apostle. This is because an apostle was a temporary and special office appointed directly by God and Christ. However, the Roman Catholic Church considers the Pope to be the successor of the Apostle Peter. According to the papacy of the Roman Catholic Church, Peter settled in Rome during the Roman Empire, appointed his successor as the leader of the early Roman Church, inherited his ability as an apostle, and the person who inherited that apostleship was the Pope. Therefore, the Pope can receive direct revelation from God. That is the logic of the Roman Catholic Church. However, as we have just confirmed in the Bible, an apostle is not something set up by a man, but must have met the resurrected Jesus directly, and as Paul says, "Finally to me," with Paul, the role of apostle ended its task. Moreover, there is no valid historical evidence that Peter settled in Rome and became the first pope of the Roman Church. Therefore, it seems that the papacy stems from the fact that the office of apostle could not be clearly understood from the Bible, or it was deliberately ignored. This problem of self-proclaimed apostle is not limited to the Catholic Church, but has also occurred in the Protestant Church. To give just one example in church history, there was the Catholic Apostolic Church founded by a former Scottish pastor named Thomas Chalmers. He was an eloquent Protestant preacher, but one day he suddenly started to say, "I am an apostle, and I received revelation directly from God, and I speak of it." We might say that this was a tragedy that came about because he made himself, his thoughts, his claims bigger than the words of the Bible and its teachings. During the time of the early church 2000 years ago, when the apostles were working, the New Testament had not yet been completed. So, in order to complete the New Testament, God specifically appointed and used the apostles to receive direct revelation. God also confirmed its authenticity by providing the apostles with a miracle. And now, the spoken words, the mysteries of God, the truth, the will, the grace, and the blessings are left behind in our hands as the Bible. All of the work that the apostles risked their lives to accomplish is contained in the Bible. This means that, in a sense, or indeed, we can live a life of faith in far more blessed conditions than in the days of the apostles. When you open it, you will find God's work, God's words, God's work and God's word, words, God's will, mysteries, grace, and answers. God may not cause such spectacular miracles and healings as in the days of the apostles so easily in modern times, but to put it another way, there is no need for them to occur. This is because all of God's will, revelation, and mystery are already written down in the words of this Bible and are within our hands. Please, I hope that we'll be aware of, rejoice in, and be grateful for the fact that we are living in a much better time than the apostles' time. Due to time constraints, we meditated only on the role of apostles today. But next time, perhaps in the new year, I would like us to learn about prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers from the Bible. Let us pray.